when I make a statement like, if you could read John Owens and not be moved by it, what I mean by that is the glorious gospel truths that the brother unpacks, revealing how much God loves you in his son, which we have, none of us have any clue how much we're loved by God. None of us. Put all that we know together, combine it, get the best theologians, put it all together. It is a, not even a thimble, not even a drop in the eternal oceans of God's love. And if we are not moved by that, if there is no sense, you all know what I mean when I say moved. You're moved by everything else. You feel things about everything else. We feel things about politics. We feel things about this and that and this and that. We feel things about our children, our grandchildren. You know what we mean when we use that terminology. The same is true. Are you moved? Is there affections? Is there a sense of delight and joy? Is there a warmth of the heart and affection towards God? A person that doesn't have that, has not experienced that, clearly Scripture says they have an old stony heart. Why does God use the stony heart as the metaphor of an unconverted heart? Because it's inflexible. You can't imprint it. It's not soft. It's not pliable. But that's what God promises to do when he converts, regenerates a person. He takes out the stony heart. He gives you a new heart. And all that simply means is he gives new inclinations, new dispositions, new delights, new loves, and new hates. You love what you once hated. You hate what you once loved. You love Christ. You are moved towards him. Just like you're moved in affection towards another human being, hopefully your spouse. That's what we mean by that. And we're not seeking emotions. I've said this now about six times today. We're not seeking emotions, but they come. There's a difference between emotions and emotionalism. What we are reacting against is emotionalism. That is emotion for the sake of emotion. To feel something for the sake of feeling. It's the same reason a drug addict takes a drug. He's looking for the high, the stimulus, the stimulant. That's emotionalism, and we condemn that. We are against that. But the Bible talks about genuine emotions. My heart's panting after God. I make my bed a bed of tears, said David. And we can just go over and over and through the scriptures. We see these godly affections. Jonathan Edwards, in his book, Religious Affections, he spends that book proving that the whole heart of what real Christianity is 1 Peter 1:8. Having not seen you believe and having not seen you loved with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The reality of Christ produces a joy. And joy is felt. It's deeper than happiness. It's not fleeting like happiness. And it's not just an emotion, but it has emotional qualities. We're not looking for burning bushes. We're not looking for visions. We're not looking for dreams. We're not looking for our hearts being strangely warmed like the Mormons are looking for. Because the devil will give you any experience you want. I'm not looking for experience, but I am looking to fellowship with my Savior. I am looking for an encounter with him. And that is real. It's in the spiritual realm. It's not in the physical. But when the spirit is involved, the human emotions are touched because that's the kind of God we have. He touches the whole person. Not just the intellect, and not just the heart, but both. And not just the heart and not just the emotions, but the will. The will is also impacted so that you have the desire and the power to do of God's good pleasure. This is the essence of Christianity. And that's what's missing. We have presented a gospel that if you intellectually agree, we have been for years attacking easy believism. And we've created our own form of it. But basically, we just require more believing. In other words, we require you to believe more things, to be more theologically exact. But we're still saying, if you believe and agree with these things, then you've had an encounter with God. No, you haven't. You've had an intellectual agreement. You have mental assent. But you have not yet experienced the new birth, because the new birth gets to the radical core of a person and changes who you are. Behold, he's made what? Anybody in Christ is a new creature, creation. So I am absolutely 100%. I haven't changed. I don't see myself changing. I'm not moving. That when Christ saves, he saves the whole person. Now, here's the big qualification. I'll quit talking. The biggest qualification in all of this is this. That you do not measure your emotion meter. You don't get the emotion meter out and say, okay, I felt as much as Michael Durham or Don Curran felt or Brother Mark Summers felt. Because you won't. Of the three men up here, can't you tell? I'm the most passionate of the three. Don runs a close second. Mark, well, he's back here somewhere. But he feels. He just doesn't show it except through the emotion of, I've seen this week in brokenness. Me, it's passion. I want to jump. I want to run. I want to shout. You know. But that's the way I'm made. You're not made like me. And because you're a human personality, and Jesus is a personality, he's person, right? He has a relationship with you that only you and him can have. No other personality is like yours. He's going to come to you just the way you want, you need. I really struggled over this for some years because I had a dramatic conversion experience. And I talked to people and they couldn't tell me when they got saved. And that bothered me. Well, how come you can't tell me when you got saved? But I saw the quality of their life. And I saw things that only could be produced by the Spirit. So I had to come to the conclusion they had life. They'd been born again. So then I had to go and say, okay, what's the difference? I had this hurricane the day I was saved. They can't even tell me when it happened to them. They just know it's happened. And I was preaching at the Bentley camp, Brother Conrad Merle's camp. And it was the afternoon and there's a break and I went outside and middle Louisiana, kind of like here. I couldn't feel any breeze. Well, it's not like here, because you have the ocean here, and you get those ocean breezes. But there in Midland, Louisiana, there was no breeze that day. And I'm thinking, boy, it's hot out here. I can't sit out here much longer. And I was praying about this thing, and I asked the Lord, I don't understand why. And I had certain people in my church I was concerned about. And all that time, I looked up, and there's a little leaf, and it's doing this. And I'm thinking, well, I don't feel any wind, but there's got to be, because that leaf is moving. And it dawned on me. It was a hurricane for me. And for others, they couldn't feel the breeze, but there was a little movement. But it was still the wind. It was still the wind. Everyone born of the Spirit is like who? Like what? Like the wind. Can't see where it comes from, where it's going, but you see what? You see its effect. So is everyone born of the Spirit. How do you know you've been converted? How do you know you've been saved? How do you know you've had an encounter with God? Because your affections have changed. There's something now that draws you to Him, and something repels you to the things you once loved. And when you sin, as I said at the table tonight, you can sin the very same sin you did before you were saved, but you can't sin it in the same way. You can't. You don't enjoy it the same way you did. It doesn't bring the same kind of joy. There's a shame that you did not feel that you feel now that you didn't once feel. There's a misery. There's a grief that was not there once when you were not a Christian, because God's given you His heart, His new heart and that new spirit.